thank y'all. My name's Robert Tony McCurry. Artist called me Robert all the time because he's the professional linguist around here. All my loved ones call me Tony, and when I hear Robert Tony, it scares me because it's Lori grabbing my attention or my wife grabbing my attention, and even Stephanie the other night called me Tony McCurry. That sounds important. But let's go to the Lord with prayer. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day and all the blessings that you give us in it. We ask you, dear Lord, to be with the people that are on our hearts, because you know our hearts, Lord. Be with the people that are on our hearts so that they can have a healing touch from you, dear Lord. Be with our like studiers around the world that are saints in Christ, so that they can speak boldly the mystery of Christ, to bring forth the body of which we seek. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I'm scared out of my wits right now because I've never spoken to a group like this before. I was a unit commissioner with the Boy Scouts of America for 10 years, and I spoke to groups anywhere from 5 people up to 200. But the people I spoke to, I gave them pretty much what they needed to hear. And if I made a mistake, they didn't know it. I could cover it up. But if y'all guys, if I make a mistake, y'all know it before than I do. And Brother Artis, there ain't nobody got the love like this man's got that I've seen. And I told Ronnie and him, when they line me up behind Artis, a couple of people asked me, what are you doing? I said, well, you know, it really don't bother me to go behind Artis because he'll put so much love in the room, I can't go wrong. That's a fact. And but yeah, I was raised a Southern Baptist and had them old Baptist ways. And prayer has been one of my biggest issues, problems, because I felt like I wasn't praying the way the Lord wanted me to pray. So I did a little study, and when Ronnie asked me to speak, I didn't really know what I was going to speak on, but a prayer came out in truth. Told Mike, when we was in Wisconsin, Mike asked what I would like to speak on, and I said, truth. But man, there's your truth right there. Yeah. How can you preach on that? I mean, that would take eons to preach that. But I'm not a preacher by any means. This is my first time to present what I feel that I think the body of Christ needs. And I know that there are preachers among us, there are believers among us that know more than I do. But I think that we all need to pray for each other constantly. Paul, in his lifetime, after he received the Lord, he prayed constantly. There are several times, no less than 7 times in his books did he say, I pray constantly. And I might act like a squirrel up here sometime, not knowing which way I'm going to go, because I don't. But y'all bear with me, and we'll get through this. Okay, let's see. Prayer has an intensity and an earnestness and perseverance behind it. The apostle declares that he prayed without ceasing. On the surface, this seemed like it's an impossible statement. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. and see what Paul went through. If I can find it myself, first made a bookmark. Yep, okay. What did I say? 2 Corinthians 11. Alright, 2 Corinthians 11 speaks of pretty much the problems that Paul encountered. 11:21. We'll go to 31. I speak as concerning the reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit wheresoever in any is bold, I speak foolishly and bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool and more. In labors more abundantly, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. This man died more than one time. Of the Jews, five times received 40 stripes, save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils, robbers, in perils, mine own countrymen, in perils, by the heathen, in the perils, in the city, in perils, in the wilderness, in perils, in the sea, in perils, among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings, often in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. This man went through some perilous times that no other person I can think of could endure. But yet he speaks that he prays without ceasing. Man, that is some praying. I know I tell my family and my loved ones that I pray for them constantly. And I do. And I didn't really realize that I was doing what God says I'm supposed to do. I just told them because I did. You know, I tell them, say, I love you and I'm praying for you. Just like body members. Every time we get together, we pray for y'all. We pray for all body members around the world. And we hope that you're doing the same. Because it's our job to bring forth the body. And that's our job. And just a couple of them, in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, you don't have to go there, I'm going to read it. That's why I might not be up here long. Because I might not let y'all flip the pages out. Y'all probably get there before I will. But 1 Thessalonians 1:3, I got it written down. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Man. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause I also thank we God without ceasing, because ye received the word of God which ye heard of us. Ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually working also in you that believe. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing, people. 2 Timothy 1:3. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Ephesians 1:16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And finally in Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Man, that's deep. Those verses are deep. We pray without ceasing, and I pray constantly for different things of the Lord to work in my life. But you know, there's also perseverance with the praying without ceasing. And you know, there can be perseverance in praying in the wrong way. Persevering prayer to know our Heavenly Father's will is one thing. But persistent praying that is outside His will may bring an answer that is terrible and extreme. This next example is not our dispensation. But in Numbers 11, you don't have to go there either. Talks of when Israel was in the wilderness and they weren't satisfied with God's food or God's angel food, the manna. They was tired of having to cook it. They was tired of eating something that tastes like fresh oil. They wanted the meat that they had when they were captive. God, can you believe that? They wanted something that when they were captive, they were more happier than they are now. They was free and they had God around them all the time. And they kept praying, kept aggravating Moses. Say, Moses, we want meat. Give us meat. And Moses went to the Father and he says, Lord, why have you given me these people? I can't take them. You know, and I don't blame him. I'd be the same way. Because think of, there was over 600,000 of these people. And when they get the belly aching, I guess it was pretty nasty. But God says, I tell you what, you bring me 70 of the elders. And we'll pray it. We'll talk to them. So Moses did that. He went and got the 70 elders. Took them to the Lord. And our Father took the power from Moses and gave it to these 70 people. Man, that's dangerous. Especially these 70 people that was just wanting to do whatever their other people wanted them to do. Well, what'd they do? They prayed. God gave them the power to pray. Now, I failed to mention that, at this time in our history, God was upon people, or the Spirit was upon people, or around people. The Spirit's in us. The Spirit is in us. We have direct contact with the Lord when we pray the way we're supposed to pray, earnestly from our heart. But anyway, these 70 priests kept praying to the Lord that we won't meet. He gave it to them. He sent quails from the ocean. He sent enough quail to the ocean that it was solid. 2 cubits deep. That's about 3 foot. And there were so many quail that they didn't have to go running for them. They just walked up and got what they wanted because they couldn't kill them. Because they couldn't eat meat like that. It had to be fresh. Well, they got so much that the person that got the least amount of these had 10 homers. For those of you that don't know what a homer is, it is 6 1/4 bushels. That's the maximum a donkey could carry at that time. Well, I carry more now. But the least of the people that went out and gathered these gathered 10 homers full. That's a lot of meat. But it was also supposed to be enough to suffice them for a long time. But you know, while they was sitting there eating that meat, the Lord throwed a plague upon them. All this because they was praying outside the Lord's will. Man, we don't want to pray outside the Lord's will. But you know, today, being in grace, people pray outside God's will all the time. I've been guilty of it. Being a Southern Baptist, I prayed out God's will plenty of times. Didn't think nothing of it. But you know, the Lord could really do some hurting on some people right now the way they pray. And I thank God for this word and the way Paul prays and the way Jesus prayed. Jesus was praying during the time when he was on the kingdom on the earth. His model prayer is just like Paul's model prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's the model prayer. That's the starting of it. And that's 4 things that were mentioned before he said, give us this day. Because in the model prayers, we're supposed to talk to God directly. Recognize Him for who He is. Before we can even think about asking for something for ourselves. But after that, after we recognize God for who He is and His precious Son that gave the atoning sacrifice for me and for you, then we pray for each other. Pray always for each other, for our health, for our protection. Baby Carly. And then, and only then, can we pray some for self. But even in praying for self, we can't pray selfishly. We can't pray that the Lord let me hit that lottery. I don't know why it ain't fair, but I don't think the Lord, I know the Lord knows why, because I can't handle that kind of money. But in my other times of prayer, I speak of other times because before I learned what it was to rightly divide the Word of God and speak to God or speak to people in a manner that God wants me to. I tell you what, I love coming Sundays and every blue moon we can make it up on Wednesday, but I love being with my family here. Because when you talk to them and you speak the word, you say dispensational, you know they know what you're talking about. In my barbershop, I hear all kind of trash. If I try to correct somebody, I say, well, you have to divide the Word of God properly. And when I say that, they look at me like I'm crazy. When I say the word dispensation, now here he goes again. He's going to talk dispensation on me. But I just laugh, you know. Well, I say a laugh. I might get so daggum mad I can't stand it sometimes. Because in their own ignorance, all they're doing is just hurting themselves. They just listen to what I have to say, or listen to what y'all have to say to people that y'all come in contact with on a daily basis. If they would just go to the Word and see if what we're saying is true. They'd rather say, no, my preacher says, Ronnie's favorite, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. God, so many fools in this world, I don't know what to talk about. I mean, it's so plain, it's right there. And you know what? Prayer has protection associated with it. Because true prayer is protected. We pray for one another's protection. I pray constantly that the Lord be a shield around my family and loved ones. Looking ahead to Peter's denial of himself, Satan had desire to have, this is Jesus now. Satan hath desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You know, literally the words read, I have prayed peri around thee. He put a shield around Peter. Man, that is something. That shield is something that Satan couldn't touch that man. Even when Peter was sitting there denying Christ, just imagine if that shield wasn't there, what the people would have done to him. They would have worse than crucified him. I'm sure they would have tore him to bits. But thank God the Lord prayed around Peter. We also uphold in prayer those who are in special need this way. My granddaughter right now. It may be that distance separates all of us. You know, running them, they're close. We can call them up, or we can be up here in 45 minutes and see them. But some of y'all, our brothers up north in Wisconsin, we pray for y'all constantly. If we see the wildfires in Phoenix, we was praying for our Phoenix brothers that the Lord protect them, because those fires out west can be terrible. We pray for y'all with y'all's snow and ice storms. We got our hurricanes. Y'all keep us in mind. Because it seems like every time we go to a Boscobel conference, we're leaving on the tail end or right in the middle of a hurricane. But you know, we know the Lord's with us. Year before last, we left right slap in the middle of a hurricane. It was kind of nice, actually. Because there wasn't nobody on that plane. We could sit anywhere we wanted to. But you know, I know, I don't know about Ronnie, but I wasn't really worried. Because I know we was going somewhere to hear God's Word. And you know, where am I at? Back at, I'm still prayer protective, ain't I? In Ephesians 6, Let's go to Ephesians 6:11, okay? I know you. Y'all know what that's all about. Let's go there anyway. Ephesians 6:11. This, we're speaking about the armor of God here that all of us have. You know, sometimes you say that we should have, but I feel like everybody in this room has this armor. I know it for a fact, without a doubt. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. I got my armor right now, guys. Standing therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, and here's the sword of the Spirit, the only offensive weapon that we have, which is the Word of God. What more do you need? You need prayer, the very first word that comes after that. Prayer is what makes the armor strong. It's one thing to have the armor, but when you got God praying around you, you got an armor that Satan can't even come close to touching. When I come up here, I was scared to death. But you know what? In our weakness, God is strong.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Just like in our physical bodies, there are organs like the heart and lungs doing vital work, yet are never seen like the external members as the hands and feet. So believers who engage in this vital activity behind the scenes are doing as much in the Lord's sight as those whose services are in the open and manifest to all. Our speakers are out in the open. But I got loved ones out here that's praying for me to get up here and deliver a message. Another example of Old Testament is with Moses again. This man was of God. In Exodus 17, it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. This was a battle that was going on between Joshua and Amalek. When Moses held up his hands, Amalek didn't stand a chance, but Moses was tired. When he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. So two men, Aaron and Hur, they went beside Moses. They put a stone under him so he could sit down. And they stood on each side of him holding his hands up. Giving the army the power that they needed to do what God wanted them to do. Praise God. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Amen. Power of prayer, people, the power of prayer. Something we all got to do for each other, so we can speak boldly the mystery of Christ. to bring forth the body, make it full. True prayer will conform to the will of God. On reaching this point, we've come to the center of the purpose of all prayer. That is to bring each one of us into conformity to the Lord's will. Whatever that may involve, alas, I wouldn't say that, but I was just, so many of us journey such a long way along the road of Christian experience before we reach this point, when we can honestly and truthfully say that we long for nothing so much as His will in our life. Whatever that may cost, and when our wills are completely submerged in His, we have progressed far towards the goal of spiritual maturity. We shall not reach this stage until we know something of deception, frailty, and sinfulness of our own hearts, and at the same time the boundless love and infinite concern for our external, eternal happiness that exists in the heart and harmony, heart of our Heavenly Father, towards each other, towards each one of us. Then, and not until then, can we say that the Savior did, thy will be done. Let me shuffle around here, guys. True prayer puts God first, others second, and self last. I spoke about that a while ago. I'm new. True prayer rests upon and claims God's promises. Study of prayers of Christ, the Apostle Paul, Moses, and others in the Bible show that they are based upon the Word of God and the premises contained therein. If our prayer is to be effective, it must be likewise based upon the unchanging Word. But to this we must add the injunction of 2 Timothy 2:15, to rightly divide the Word of God and speak dispensationally. If we base our prayers upon a scripture or promises relating to a calling other than that to which we belong, can we expect God to hear and answer? No, unless those promises are true for all time and all callings of the redeemed. Right division is eminently practical in this respect and as in every way. We must get to know our divine calling before we can begin to pray properly. Many children of God are asking Him for all kinds of things pertaining to scriptures that don't apply to them or for which they or which belong to another time period. And they are disappointed and frustrated because they have a silent heaven. Let us search our prayer life and make sure we're not perpetuating the same error. True prayer waits for the Lord's answer. It watches. The Lord Jesus not only exhorted His disciples to pray, but to watch as well as pray. In Mark 13:35, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he finds you asleep. And what I say unto you, I say to all, watch." In Acts 12, King Herod had James, the brother of John, slayed with the sword, and saw that it pleased the people, some wicked people. So he saw it pleased the people. He decided he's going to lock Peter up and kill him too. But he said, well, we'll have to do this after Easter, because if we do this while during Easter, I believe they would crucify us. But they had him locked up. But some disciples were praying without ceasing again. Without ceasing. For the release of Peter at the house of Mary, the mother of John. And they prayed in a way that God was graciously pleased to answer this prayer and released his servant, who thereupon came to the house where the many were gathered together, praying and he knocked at the door of the gate. When the little girl Rhoda, who recognized Peter's voice, ran to tell her, they told her, "You're crazy. Ain't no way that could be Peter. He's in prison. He can't get out of that prison." But Peter continued knocking. And when he had opened the door, they saw him, they were astonished. They were floored by that. Now that's prayer without watching. We gotta watch. When we pray, we have to look for the answers. Because the Lord's going to give it to us. Seem like 70% of my prayers, the answer is no. Because I don't meet it. That's right. Still an answer. Because he knows I don't need it. But there have been times in my life that I prayed and I got an answer to prayer. With my beloved wife. Because I was in a marriage that I don't think was the will of God. When I met this prior woman, I wasn't living the way God expected me to live. But during our time, I came to know the Lord. And I did it for my son. I wanted to get my son in church. But I wasn't in church. A couple of weeks, I'm the one that found the Lord. It was in Baptist church. But you know, I still had life. And I earnestly prayed. My wife at the time, She never went to church with me or my children. And I would pray to the Lord that His will would be done in my life. If He wanted me to be with this woman, so be it. But He put into my heart that I would only put up so much. Thank you, God. And I put an end to that relationship. But through my prayers, I asked the Lord to give me a mate that would help me further my life in Christ. I wasn't in the body at that time. I was in life. I knew Jesus Christ as my Savior. But through my wife, Ronnie, and my father-in-law, I came to know the love of the Lord. And to know where I stand in the world. Up at Ronnie's house, I came to know. Took me a while to fathom it. What it was like to be in the body of Christ. Larry told me, he says, "What's so hard about it?" It's in. In the body. Bone of his bones. Flesh of his flesh. Amen. When I come to that truth and knowledge, you just can't turn back. It's our job to spread this truth, to help people who are, even though they choose to be ignorant, we still have to stay at them. My fellow worker chooses to be ignorant. I get so mad at him, I spit nails sometimes. But I'm going to stay at him. If anything, he's my sparring partner. He comes at me with some stupid thing his preacher told him. I said, well, show me. He never does. He never does. If anything, I have to show him where he's wrong. But he says, Joe, I don't care, my preacher said that. It's okay. I know that he has life. I know that he does have life, but he don't have the better resurrection. But that's the Lord's decision on that. But he's going to have to turn around the way he thinks, that's for sure, before he does have a better resurrection that we have in the body. Prayer that should be done for the body of Christ today, us, that we should speak boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of the body of Christ. Every time, constantly, guys, never ceasing, constantly praying. Pray continually for body members to do God's will. Pray that body members be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I love to hear our speakers pray, because I'm constantly praying that the Lord can give me the ability to pray like they can. Because these guys earnestly know the Lord. When Mike asked me to speak at his conference, I ain't got enough sense to get up there. Ronnie asked me to speak. I said, wait a minute now, something's going on here. Bobby Ann said she would love to hear me speak. My wife said she would love to hear me speak. My sister. I said, Lord, it's your will. And I'm going to give it my best shot. One more thing. You know, in Revelation 5:8, John has an apocalyptic view. Before Christ opens the book of life, and when they had taken the book, and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, I don't know if that's dispensational of that time, but when I see saints, I'm a saint. Bob Gunther told me that. We're all saints. When we pray the way God expects us to pray, by using Paul's example of prayer in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, those are the two most beautiful prayers I have ever heard, other than artists. That man, he sent us, most of us got an email here a couple months ago, I couldn't take my eyes off the screen. And when I did, I was crying. That man has the love of God right there. But back to these numerous prayers. God can smell the beautiful incense of our prayers. Think about that. Our prayers are reaching heaven. They're getting up there and the Lord smells them and says, this is good. But I want y'all to continually remember the body. Constantly pray for the body. That's about all I got written down up here. Just that we need to direct prayer to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray always in thanksgiving. Pray always in thanksgiving. Thank the Lord for everything that we have. Pray with total earnestness and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray always for others' health, safety, and that God's will be done in their lives, not their own. Because we can't rely on our will. The old man works on us. The old man was working on me tonight, big time. Brother Artis set me straight. Told me that it's God's will, not his. It was meant for me to get up here and deliver a message, and I hope that in my heart that somebody got something out of it. And we are always supposed to offer up the name of the Lord when we finish our prayer. That just puts the final touch to our prayer that our Heavenly Father will accept. Because through His atoning blood that covers our sins, allows us to be in communion with our Heavenly Father. In Christ's name, amen, guys. I love y'all. Thank you.
Not bad for a first time, eh? We love you, Tony. Thank you much.